Grow Great is a city government leadership podcast with Lisa Norris and me, Randy Cantrell. Each week we share insights, experiences, and wisdom to help you and your leadership grow great. Our website is growgreat.com. So we're in this meeting. I don't know, there's probably six or eight people in the room, and people have kind of presented various challenges, various problems that they're facing, and we're kind of going around the room and people are explaining their challenge, because the object is going to be, at some point everybody's going to kind of agree, yeah, let's tackle Randy's. Now let's tackle Lisa's challenge. Okay, so that'll give you the background. And in the course of going around the room and everybody kind of telling their story, which hopefully is going to lead to something that they want to accomplish, at some point, and we haven't gotten to the third person yet, and my eyes are rolling up in the back of my head, I'm facilitating this conversation. So I'm a participant, but that's my role. And I'm watching the rest of the room, and fourth person and fifth and everybody. And initially I'm thinking, okay, well, because the first person did it the way they did it, because they had this story to tell, they had this context, and we're just wanting somebody. The challenge was, the direction is, can you state succinctly the problem and what you hope to accomplish? Now, that seemed fairly straightforward for me. This was a number of years ago. I've since learned, by the way, I've since learned how to be a little better lion tamer. But we get her, and nobody can do this. And so I'm not wanting to stop this thing, obviously, and call people out. And so it gets started. And I mean, we end up where that's what everybody did. And
they
finally
followed the leader.
Yeah. And I just kind of catch myself. I said, I'm looking around the room, and I broke the ice, and I said, okay, no offense, guys, but they haven't be all men in the room. But I said, I mean, did anybody else's eyes just roll up in the back of their head, like, when, once we got started? And they all chuckled, and they all laughed, and I said, okay, now, can in one clear sentence, let's go back around? And of course, they did. These are business owners. These are bright guys. So I encounter this all the time, and it drives me out of my mind. I freely admit it's a quirk that I have of just tell me what the problem is, mm-hmm. You know, but everybody thinks, well, there's all this backstory. You know, I'm going to have to tell you about a 30 minutes, and I'm like, just tell me what the problem is. We'll unearth the stuff. So I've caught myself in business, in all kinds of settings, this happens. And before we hit record, Lisa and I had a conversation, and there were some things that, you know, she had not noticed about certain people that once I called it out, now she's noticing this very problem.
It's like the yellow taxi, yellow car that you say, I've never seen. And right. Once you say, well, I saw there was three on the lot. And then all of a sudden, when you're driving, you see eight of them a day.
Yeah, right. Right. It's now you can't avoid.
You can't unsee them.
No. Now I see them everywhere I look.
That's
kind of a thing. You know, so I told her, I said, yeah, I would like us to have a conversation about how to simplify your way to better solutions. And this was the note. I'm reading the text that I sent her. Putting in the work to be succinct and stating a problem clearly in the simplest terms to get to the crux of the matter. The fact is, we increasingly find ourselves having a hard time getting to the crux of the matter, which is kind of interesting given that things like Twitter, okay, X, you know, it used to be 140 characters, and social media and texting and all this stuff. I mean, we don't say laugh out loud, we do LOL. So we have found ways to really shortcut stuff that, and in some cases, stuff that doesn't even need to be that shortcut. I had a conversation not long ago with somebody. They were talking about, in football, they'll talk about running the rock. The rock is the ball. I don't pretend to know the history of that, but I can say ball quicker or as quickly as I can say rock. Plus, it's more clear. Rock. You know, oh, yeah, they're running the rock. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I don't know why we've lost clarity. I don't know why we have lost succinctness other than it's hard work. And I'm reminded, I think it was Mark Twain. It was ascribed to Mark Twain. I know at least once because I read it. If you want me to speak right now, I'm prepared to speak for 2 hours. But if you need me to speak for 5 minutes, I'm going to need 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah,
and there's huge truth to that. Brevity does take time. And that's, I don't know, that's my generic, totally unscientific conclusion is that the reason we don't, well, one, we want to paint ourselves in the best light. We don't want this problem to look like it's a bad reflection on us. I think that plays into it. So there is psychology here. But I also think that it takes work. It takes work to get it succinctly, and it takes work and effort mentally. And I think it takes some courage and bravery, don't get me wrong, in a group setting to just spit that out. And yes, people struggle with it.
We talked about self-awareness, and as Randy and I were talking prior to record, and he was mentioning this, and I'm like, yeah, I see that now that you said it. And I said, but what's worse, I see that I do it too sometimes.
Yeah,
well, and we so all now do. I recognize it, and I said, you know, we were talking about the why. I always investigate the why, and we've talked about accountability, self-awareness. And I said, you know why I think we probably do it is because we want you to hear our side and get on our side.
Yeah.
We're trying to persuade that, can you see how?
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, no truth. There's no,
I'm putting my quotes. Can you see, that's can right. you see how Randy did my half an hour diatribe?
Yeah. Yeah. Now you see why this is a problem. You see why this is a problem for me, and I had nothing to do with it. Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. Well,
we
but Lisa and I have talked because of this new role that she's in the city manager's office. And so in the hierarchy of things, there are three people that are higher up on the ladder than she and her peer Walter are. And she knows as an HR director for many, many years, and now at this role in the CMO, and has enough understanding in working with CMO because she has answered to CMO for a long time.
Yeah.
The brevity that is required to get to the crux of a matter is more valued the higher up you go.
Yeah. And because, it's necessary because there's no time.
Well, there's a time constraint. There is a resource constraint in that not only do we not have enough time, we've got so much on our plate. We have so much that we have to get to. We just need to get to the heart of the matter. Can we get to the heart of the matter? And that doesn't mean that sometimes details that are necessary have to get left out. It's just that those details unfold with questions or with the need for some clarification, but that comes later. That doesn't have to come up front, but we always think that it's got to come up front.
It has to be at a much higher level, at a faster, at a,
correct.
You have to be succinct, or you're going to not only lose them, but you're not going to get the answer. You need to move forward because that's right. The moment you have to get it. You got to be succinct at their level to get what you need to keep moving, because they don't need the story anymore.
No.
All we need at our level now is direction to help others get where they need to go. Right.
And that's
the
reason.
We're not the doers as much.
That's right. And that's the reason that I wanted to hit record on this topic, because I think it's a skill that in your leadership journey, you better learn it. You just better learn it. It will facilitate your opportunities to move up the food chain in leadership, in my opinion, because people that lack it, they're going to get stuck. They are not going to get promoted like the person who can get to the crux of the matter and clearly state what the problem is and clearly state what a proposed solution or solutions could be.
It's so interesting because as you brought this up, very valuable topic because it's not talked about much, but those diatribes can appear as, now that you pointed it out, Randy, and I've listened to what you said and observed it, it definitely appears when it's coming out of somebody's mouth as justification, not listening and recognizing if you can't get to a point, how's anybody else going to help you see through the issue? How's anybody else going to help you navigate that issue if every question leads to a 15 or 20 minute diatribe, right? Because it appears as justification why I'm doing this. And you don't want it to give an unwillingness to navigate, which I don't think is intended. I know when I've caught myself, now that you said this, and I catch myself, it's not an unwillingness to listen, but it can appear that way if you respond for every question like that, right? I mean, yeah, it seems like it can appear as justification. Well, that's totally unintended. And we want to navigate these well with our peers, with our staff, going up the food chain, down the food chain and out, right? We want to be succinct to get to resolution, because then you're just freeing up your own time as well and the time of others that are you're investing in.
It's interesting. Somebody can come into our office that is a direct report, and they can do what most people do, and it's just not memorable. And we're like, yeah, okay, we're thinking, and maybe we say it, okay, just can you cut to the chase? Can you just cut to the chase? As opposed to those rare times where some courageous soul comes in and says, I've got a challenge, and here's the challenge, and I contributed to this. So a big part of this is on me, but bam, here's the problem. Bam, here's what I'm proposing that we do to fix the problem. And boy, do those stand out.
Yeah. And you just did that in a whole 15 seconds.
Yeah. And boy, do we think real highly of that person. And I hear those stories. I do hear those stories regularly of people who did go in and, If they did have some part to play in it, they took complete ownership of that part they had to play in it, but they just got to it. They just dove in and got to it because they weren't worried about judgment. Now, maybe it was that they had a boss that they felt more safe with than the average bear, but it tells you something about the person. And another part of this, another aspect of this, is the times that I hear a group, especially a group, I hear a group present a problem that they want help with and just not able to not only get to the point, but they're just full of business speak or whatever the jargon is of the space or the mm-hmm. industry. There's just a lot of circular talk. And then what the room does is the room responds. This almost always happens in my experience. The room then responds with circular answers. And I'm sitting here thinking, I don't even know what we're solving for. And these solutions, I hope these people understand, because I sure don't.
Yeah.
And exactly. At some point then I stop down and I start asking questions, only to find out nobody knows what anybody's talking about. We're all talking and we're all using some big words and we're all using some fancy language. And
buzzword. I call them buzzwords.
Yeah. And we're saying, you know, hey, why say something in 10 words if 100 will do? You know, so everybody's using a whole lot of words and nobody's got a clue what's going on. But nobody's brave enough, except I'm in this position to facilitate that. I'm like, time out. Are y'all following this? Cause yeah, I don't
what is
even,
the issue?
I don't even know what the problem is. I mean,
yeah.
You guys have not asked any questions. It's like, y'all already understand the problem. Maybe y'all do, but I have just found, when we can drill down and we can, you know, as we used to say, just kind of be a first grade reader, if we can just mm-hmm. approach it like first grade reader, keep this thing really simple. I don't know. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's arrogance. Maybe it's self-centeredness. Maybe it's we just want to sound smart. And when we're just trying to solve a problem or we're trying to take advantage of an opportunity, which is really all that we're all doing anyway. It's what we're doing all day, every day. We're solving problems. We're looking for opportunities that we can jump on. That's the work.
Yeah.
And can we just get on with it and figure it out? I think this was important enough. I just wanted to kind of throw this out there and at least suss out a little bit of it to get everybody's head spinning and thinking about it. It's a skill that, in my opinion, if you were to move this up the food chain in your skill set development, you will, there's my thumbs up. You would, if you're watching the video, you saw a thumbs up. It'll elevate your career. I'm convinced right. It would elevate anybody's career because this is a skill that is so bloody rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so, it's interesting because in my world for so long, it's more perfected now. Let me say it that way. It's more perfected now in my current role with my directors because they're directors. They get to the point quicker. When I was in the HR role and yeah. others came to me, there's a story they want to tell every time.
Right.
And I couldn't tell you how many times you're exactly right. It was rare for them to be succinct. Most of the time, and it doesn't matter if it's staff, if it's my staff or other city staff that are coming to HR for something, there's always this story. You can expect 30 minutes. And I can't tell you how many times I would listen because so much of it, I'm picking up things in the background that they're not saying. So mm-hmm. It did give me insight just listening to the unstated things as it did what their words were coming out of their mouth. But so often I would go, okay, I appreciate what you just said. What is it that you need from me? You know, you know, because I'm like, well, I don't know.
Again,
there was
why
no
are you
question
here?
In there. There was no question. And they're like, oh, I just needed guidance on blah, 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 that they said, and they'll say it in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but they'll go on and you really aren't sure because I didn't want them to think I wasn't listening or I'll say what I heard you talking about was this, but are you needing guidance from me or are you?
Why are you telling me this?
Yes. Yes. And then sometimes, like you said, how much I appreciate when somebody came and said, Lisa, I have screwed up. Payroll is down and I don't know what I did.
Yeah.
Can you help me? And I'm like, can you show me what you did? You know what I mean? Because we can get to the immediate resolution in a much quicker span of time. But the value in that is critical. Not only, it's exactly what you said. There is just a level of appreciation and recognition because the trait is so rare that you're like, okay, they do that well. And typically if they think like that, they act like that, that I've seen.
That's right.
Is that fair?
Yes.
I mean, their work is also succinct. Their ability to get things done is also succinct, right?
And it's
because
hard.
Because they navigate it well.
Yeah, it's hard. And it's not natural for most of us.
That's right.
You know, because there's a lot of clutter. There's a lot of clutter in our life and in our vocabulary and in our communication skills and cutting to the chase. I don't know, but I think it takes a level of bravery and courage that most people lack. I think for some people, they're word proud. I mean, come on. Some people just do like to hear their head rattle. But I think for many of us, it's something bigger, even bigger than that. I mean, I think it's just a quest for understanding. They really want somebody to understand, or at least understand their point of view. And to your point, probably take their side.
And I've never, in my world, I never saw it as high ego. I never saw it as I want to be self-centered on my, truly when it's come across for me in these instances, in my roles that I've had, it's, I want you to hear my side and how I got here. I want you to understand my perspective, like you said, my perspective, mm-hmm. because they're coming to you. So it's not high ego where they're not seeking guidance.
You're right.
It's just they're giving you the full backstory almost in advance so that you understand and you can get to the point quicker.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
So I've never seen it shared. Have you, where it's high ego that's involved? Or should I say rarely? I shouldn't say never.
You know,
never
in my role, yes, I have, you know, because people are, verbosity, using a whole lot of words, being verbose, I think is largely an ego act. Now that's a personal opinion. I'm not saying everybody has to share that.
And you work with a lot of CEOs in higher level too, though.
Yeah, but
correct?
I think that
which
I think
I
that,
didn't so much.
I think that person that I think that person that wants to hold forth, I think they probably have an elevated sense of self-importance. I have found that to be mostly the case. And probably even more pointedly, less respectful of the other person's time and attention. So for me to say something in 45 minutes that could be said in 15 is disrespectful to whose time? Well, the poor person that's got to listen to me drone on for 45 minutes when I could have taken 10.
Yeah. And so my angle has been a little different with, you know, I'm typically working with, again, now my current role directors, and they are pretty succinct. I'm not seeing that issue as much as I did in HR, where you have employees coming to you on a grievance. You have employees coming to you on an issue, not so much staff. I'm talking about people coming to HR for help. They right. want to share their story. And for me, it was always about, they want to influence your perspective. They want you That's almost, right. they want you to take their side. So they want you to fully understand that it's That's not right. them.
Yeah. Well, I think those are just context differences.
Yes. Correct. For I us. Think it's our role or yeah. the role we played.
That's right.
In our industries. It's just a different, which is good for the audience, because you may be having this with staff. You may be serving others and you're hearing it from them, or could it be you're doing it yourself?
Yeah, that's
right. And having awareness around this, where this can impact a lot of different audience members from different perspectives and their point on this very topic. And, you know, as we've talked about, let's not do that. And while it's not a good use of time, it's not a good use of, it doesn't make you look good. It doesn't, you're wasting the time of others when we aren't getting to the point. How have you seen people overcome it, or have you? And what have they done in your work as a coach and serving others?
I think it's people, we talk so much about self-awareness, and I do think it plays a role in there. And my overarching question to most people is there some circumstances, is there some time that you can point to where making a situation more complicated benefited? I'm not talking about trying to make really complicated things oversimplistic. There are some things that are very complicated. You and I have had some conversations right. offline about various and sundry kind of topics, whether it's in HR or just city government in general. Some things they're tough, man. They're complicated. There's a lot of moving parts to it. So we're not talking about dumbing things down. We're not talking about oversimplifying things that are complex, but we are talking about not overcomplicating things unnecessarily, which Correct. Is what we tend to do with so much verbiage and so much circular talk, and we're just spinning our wheels in trying to explain something or talk about something. Yesterday, I had a conversation with a client, and I asked, "What do you want to do?" 5 minutes later, after a lengthy on and on that didn't answer the question, I just looked at the person and I said, "Again, what do you want to do?" And finally got to the point. I think it's just difficult. I think it's difficult for people even when they see it. Usually when I call it out like that twice, yeah, they get to the point.
They realize they didn't get to the point and need to get to the point.
Yeah. And so many times we're hearing a narrative in our head, and what the other person is hearing is not what we're hearing. I think there's so many elements to it. For me, the biggest advantage is to let people know. For instance, when I call it out in a group, everybody gets it. Okay, can somebody here say in a single sentence, because I'm an idiot, I'm the idiot in the room, and I'm happy to play that part because it comes naturally. Can somebody explain right. to the idiot here in the front of the room what we're even talking about?
Yeah.
Almost 100% of the time, the room chuckles, and invariably somebody says, "Well, I can't say I fully understand either," which speaks to this phenomenon of all of us nodding our heads and shaking our heads like, yeah, we get it. Cause we don't want to be that guy. We don't want to be that gal. We don't want to be the person who raises our hand and say, "Teacher, I haven't got a clue. I don't have a clue what we're talking about." We just don't want to be that. We don't want to show ourselves to be that. And I'm not, I'm not cursed with that problem. I'm cursed with I'm cursed with the other problem of, wait a minute, I don't understand. And everybody laughs.
Talk about it. Naive curiosity.
Everybody can laugh all they want, but their laughter doesn't help me understand it. And right. I would rather understand it and endure their laughter than act like I understand it, but not have a clue and have them not laugh.
Served the conversation well? I bet 100% of the time.
Well, I mean,
it gets to the point quicker, and all of a sudden everybody's like, yeah, you're right. I didn't understand either. And all of a sudden we're back to a focused conversation that helps everybody.
Yeah. Well, I've learned that over time, you know, they only laughed when I was really young. I mean, by the time you get to high school, they're not laughing anymore. Maybe they laugh in grade school. They don't laugh as much in junior high. By the time you get to high school, they're not laughing at all, because guess what? Most everybody else in the room feels the same way, because they don't have a clue what anybody's talking about either. So it's part of this leadership recipe that we talk about, where understanding is up near the top of the recipe list, but there's so many things. So we have to have humility and curiosity and knowledge, and that gets us to understanding. And the last one is compassion, a focus on others, which happens to be synonymous with the way Lisa and I describe leadership. And if we're going to get to that pinnacle, which hopefully we do, we have to understand. And if I don't understand what y'all are even talking about, I don't understand the problem. I don't even understand that solution that you just offered, because we're just droning on and on and on with unnecessary verbiage, and everybody's, I'm a simpleton. I'm going to tell you straight up what I think the real problem is. We're trying to sound smart. And in too many cases, I think we're trying to sound smarter than we are. And my attitude is, as a simpleton, hey, okay, well, if you were that smart, then you wouldn't have this problem. You'd have already figured this out. So does it have anything to do with really being smart? No, it doesn't. I don't think. I think it just has to do with we can't see what we can't see. Until we can. We've all seen those computer generated images or pictures or I mean, they're just posters of colors mostly. And in there's a hidden image. And until you can see the hidden image, you can't see it. And it is so vexing. It is so frustrating. And somebody standing right by us and go, you don't see it. You don't see it.
You don't see the dog.
No, you don't see it. Stand back, squint your eyes, look this way, look that way. And so we do all that stuff and we still can't see it. But then just, I don't know, some epiphany, I see it.
And then you can't unsee it.
No, now every time you look at it, you spot it very easily. And does that have anything to do with vision? No. Does it have anything to do with intelligence? No, it just clarity. Clarity. I can see it now. And I think for us as humans, I think it's a benefit that we serve. And I think it's a huge role that we can play as leaders, is we can help people see things more clearly. Because we're smarter? No. Because we're more experienced? Could be. But because we're another person who can help them, who can challenge them, who can encourage them and help them and be patient with them enough so that they can see it. And
I think through those questions, like you said, Randy, and these conversations that occur, for me, it does show a level of understanding and a level of leadership that does set you apart. And that should not be the goal. I'm just saying it is what it is. When you ask clarifying questions, I have been in our CMO meetings, us as the top five leaders in the agency, besides the mayor and council. And one of us, whether it's me or somebody else, goes, okay, hold on. I'm not understanding. Is the goal to da-da-da-da, or are we trying to do this? And they're like, okay, good question. Right. What are we trying to do? You know,
exactly.
Or, you know, it's a question like that.
Yeah, just like, we don't know what we're trying
to do. I'm not that naive curiosity to go, are we trying to accomplish this, or is X the problem, or is this the problem? I'm not clear. It can be something that simple, and everybody's like, well, it's either, oh, yeah, it is definitely this, because there was maybe a long conversation and you weren't clear, and I got it, so we're trying to achieve this by Friday, correct? Yes. You know, I mean, it's that it just seems to help everybody that's participating in that conversation, like you said, to seek clarity. If it's done well, it is not ego. It is not sharing your perspective. But when the diatribe continues time after time after time, and you're asking succinct issues, succinct questions, the person that's giving the long answers is not helping themselves either. That's the way I see it, because you're trying to justify your position at that point, which is clouding you. It's clouding your perspective to get to a solution that the others are trying to help you with. So I think if we remove ourselves from the justification and the continual, this is why I did it, this is what I'm doing, this is how I see it, at some point it starts getting in the way of the outcome. And either people, I've seen it, either people give up on the conversation, or one of them turns, one of them gets more succinct, and the person giving the responses gets more succinct. But if that doesn't happen, I can tell you people will walk away from the conversation. I can't try anymore because I'm not getting anywhere. Is that your experience?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
And you don't want people giving up on us. We don't want people giving up on us. So we have to do the effort to be succinct, to give that answer so that we can get to where we need to go, or we wouldn't started the questions in the first place.
Yeah, that's right. And it does take a lot of effort. There's no question. Here's the good news is you can start today, and it can grow. Maybe it grows quickly, maybe it grows slowly, and it can become a habit. And when it becomes a habit, it's liberating. I will just tell you straight up, it's liberating, because you will not ask an embarrassing question. I have asked some really, in retrospect, seemingly, and sometimes even in the moment, stupid questions. And I'm not going to say that people haven't chuckled, but sometimes, no, all the time. You know, the room responds very favorably. Whether that room is, I've had countless negotiations. A big part of my life was spent negotiating with vendors. And, you know, some of these negotiations could get tense. They could even get somewhat confrontational. And sometimes in the midst of those, it's asking a dumb question. And I recalled asking questions like about terms of an invoice. So, you know, to inquire if I could get either the longer terms or a shorter term, but with a discount, for instance. And I've had vice presidents and presidents of companies look at me from vendors and say, well, nobody's asked me that before. And I'm like, okay, well, so what's the answer? You know, I mean, it's just
get to the point.
Yeah. I've found just too many times where it's profitable. It helps us get on the same page. I know this, that if I say something, if I went to my boss, for instance, and I went on some long diatribe, I don't know how that's going to help my boss help me.
And are you looking for help? I mean, genuinely, yeah. People need to ask yourselves, are you truly looking for help, or are you just trying to persuade them your way of thinking? Because that's a different animal, and you've got to have clarity around, if you're going to ask a question and you're looking for help, which we all should be, or guidance or insight, don't keep restating your position. Listen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's just about getting to the point and making sure that that point is understood by all the people involved. And whether we're seeking advice or whether we're just informing, we're educating, yeah. I think it doesn't matter. What is the point of the communication? Whatever the communication is, the point is to be understood. And I can talk in circles all day long. I can use fancy language. I can use, you know,
I can use
20 word sentences when a 5 word sentence would do. I can do all of that stuff. I guess my ending question would be, and does that help the room? Does that help everybody here better understand? The answer to that is no. So then why do it? Especially when I can point to clear evidence where it serves people really well. It serves careers really, really well. People can ascend on the hierarchy of leadership when they have the ability to cut to the chase and be succinct. And it's not just because, well, they save us time. It's because there's a clarity of thought and there's a clarity of communication that is just stinking rare. And it shouldn't be that rare. That's your advantage. That's your advantage if you choose to embrace that and learn that skill, is it will give you a competitive edge. Should it? I don't know, but it will.
It's so interesting because, Randy, you and I, when we talk about leadership recipe, specifically in curiosity, we always tell those that we are teaching better questions to get better answers. In this, I would say provide better answers to get better clarity, right? As we talk through, ask better questions, get better answers, provide better answers to get better clarity. So often this has played a role for me in knowing how to ask those questions, or in your case, restating the fact again. You know, you ask the question again, my question was blah, 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 blah. In my case, where it helps so much as a leader, at least in the CMO level and as a role when I had it in HR, is to help them solve for it. You got to get to the point. You got to get to the point. When they're needing an answer, ask the questions, respond succinctly so we can get to a solution. And for me, it's getting them outside of the box. Where I find this most challenging for me has been in highly technical roles. It doesn't matter if that's a payroll technical role, an IT technical role, an engineer, an architect. Their world is so black and white. In my experience, it's hard for them to see outside of the box. And I'm a solution person. If you're coming to me with a problem, my solution probably doesn't look like yours because I don't live in your world. But there's huge benefits to see a path different than you see. You know, so often they come and they're like, this is the way we need to be doing it. And they're not seeing that. And they're asking me to do this. I'm like, is there another option that can get to the same result? Well, I mean, we could do it, but we really, this is the way we do everything. This is consistent. But what if, could we try this? No. Okay, why can't we try that? You know, and it ultimately, in almost, I would say, a good 95% of the time, you keep asking the questions, eventually they say, well, yeah, it would work that way. That's just not how we do it. It's helping people get outside of the box to solve for something that is just not down the normal path. This is easy. This is what I know. But if can we just go on this little workaround to get to the same result and solve for that issue? And that's where I find it so hard. And this can be hugely beneficial in those technical roles to ask better questions, get better answers, get better clarity, and clarity solves the problem for everybody.
Thanks for watching and listening to Grow Great, the City Government Leadership Podcast. For Lisa Norris, I'm Randy Cantrell. Be well, do good, grow great. The website is growgreat.com.